Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, I'm Callum Stoneman, and welcome to another Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, our weekly look at what's new and what's going on in the world of technology from a blind and partially sighted perspective. If you want to get in contact with us, our email address is techtalk@rnib.org.uk. You can send us a written email or attach a voice note. Why not? And we'll get your voice on air if you want us to. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. This week, we'll be talking to the developers of the Android app Tech Freedom that aims to enhance independence, productivity, and access to digital resources for blind and partially sighted people. Plus, Hubert hears about a new board game that showcases Braille. Some interesting stuff coming up this week, as always. Welcome into our co-hosts, Hubert Pavalkovich, Jackie Brown, and Natalie Curran. Another full house this week, which is always nice. Hubert, what's going on with you this week?
So it's a few things I've noticed in the Facebook app. Now, some people might already be aware of this, and I might be just late to the party, but I found this quite interesting and started playing around with this. So in the Facebook app, especially in the newsfeed section, when you're browsing through various status updates, I found a new option, or two new options, which kind of relate to the same thing. So Meta AI is involved more in the Facebook app in two ways now. You can generate image descriptions of photos that people upload, which I think, you know, the descriptions aren't always perfect, but I think that's fantastic. But what I've also seen is you can actually ask Meta AI about content of posts. So as an example, I've kind of found a post from 9to5Mac, which is a kind of Apple discussion news website. And I said to Meta AI, what story is this post covering? It didn't kind of summarize it as I hoped it would. It just gave me the link to the news story, which I could have probably gotten myself. So I'm still not fully sure how useful that particular feature is. But it's the first time I've seen these two functions in the Facebook app since, you know, I've been using it. I've noticed it yesterday. And I thought, that's interesting. You can generate photo descriptions without leaving the Facebook app, which I think is quite handy.
Yeah, that has always been a bit of a nightmare, hasn't it? Where you've got to go to the photo and then, I don't know if you can share it out directly to other apps. I remember sometimes when I've tried it, you had to like save the photo and then go into one of the apps and then add that photo in from your library. I've had to do that sometimes. I don't really know why. But yeah, does the summarize thing, like, how do you access that?
So the way to do it is double tapping with two fingers once you focus on the post, and you'll get your usual options like comment, share, and then you will get, sometimes you will just get generate image description, or sometimes you'll get ask Meta AI about this post. So that kind of varies. If it's a photo post only, then more likely than not, you will get a just generate description option rather than ask Meta AI about the post. But sometimes you will get that the other option as well. So it varies from post to post as to what is more applicable.
Yeah, interesting. I wonder if it could help you with that. You know, sometimes where you see posts and it might be an interesting topic, but it's a post in like a group maybe or on a page and someone's asked a question, but then there's about 200 comments. I wonder if it could do that. You know, it just, what's the overall like consensus here? What are people talking about? I wonder if it could kind of summarize that.
I'm still experimenting with this, but I've only recently found it, but I'm keen to experiment more and kind of see if it can summarize comments, because yes, if there's 200 comments, I'm not going to read all of them. So it would be nice if it can actually just go, well, the overall opinion is potentially this, you know, that'd be quite interesting.
Natalie, anything new with you?
Well, first of all, I need to say we got an email through commenting on the tech radar I did last week. And apparently I was given misinformation and Google AI Studio is already available in the UK. So that's great news. I'll take that correction. But for this week, what caught my attention? Yeah, well, to be honest with you, it's kind of a bit of tech trouble. So my Samsung TV seems to be playing up, but specifically the Netflix app. So I'm kind of mentioning this so that if anybody else is having the same problem, you're not alone. But I don't know if Netflix is going through some sort of update or other. But sometimes the voice guide works and sometimes it doesn't. And when I say sometimes it doesn't, I mean literally yesterday lunchtime, it was behaving itself. Yesterday evening, it wasn't. And it seems to be a new thing with Netflix. Like when you load it, it starts playing like trailers or like previous clips of episodes and stuff. And I think it's trying to be engaging and, sort of clickbaity, but all it does is get really annoying. And like I say, it seems to stop voice guide from working. So it's extremely unhelpful. But on a more positive note, I went along to, kind of slightly ashamed to say it, the Sight Sound webinar this week for the first time ever. Sorry, I should say Sight and Sound webinar this week for the first time ever. And they were talking about the new PictureSmart feature in Jaws. And I found that really interesting because I didn't realise how much it had progressed in the past few years. So, sorry, Jaws PictureSmart, for anyone who doesn't know, is a new AI thing built into Jaws itself that will help you investigate, well, funnily enough, pictures, but also what's on screen in general, which I didn't appreciate. So it was really interesting. So they described how you could focus on a particular photo on a page and ask it to describe that specifically, or even just ask it to describe the screen in general. And I did wonder if that might even be another, not perfect, but potential workaround for those inaccessible PDFs where they're just a scanned image of text and are utterly useless. But yeah, I find that really interesting. So if anybody's interested, the shortcuts for that are Jaws key plus space, then P for Picture Smart. And there's a whole bunch of letters, but the one you need to know is question mark, and that'll then tell you the different options available to you, and you can have a play around yourself.
It's such a good feature, is that? I mean, I've got to be honest, before they brought in the AI features to it, PictureSmart, this is going to sound brutal, but it was one of the worst features of Jaws. It was picture. I never found it useful.
No, Callum, tell us what you really think.
No, there was a command. I remember, because I remember thinking the same as you. Oh, this will be brilliant. This was, and I should say, to be fair to them, this was many years ago. This was when I started using Jaws, so a good few years ago. And I remember thinking the same as you. I got an inaccessible PDF, and I thought, right. PictureSmart, it'll be perfect for this. And I did the command, and it took about 2 or 3 seconds to process it, and then it came back. This picture appears to be a document.
You got a lot of
Right, okay.
descriptions like that.
That's, yeah. Thanks. But it is unbelievable now, I've got to say. And you can
Yeah.
follow up with it as well, ask through ChatGPT.
Yeah, you
Yeah.
can. So if you're on a website, say, and you want to actually find out more, and you want to interrogate PictureSmart for more information about that product, i.e. I mean, once, for example, recently we needed to replace our toaster, so I went online to the usual place that people go to, and I picked a toaster that I thought sounded okay for what we wanted. I wanted a four slice toaster, so I was then able to interrogate it a bit more about the colour. And I also asked it, because you can ask questions, as you say, Natalie. And I asked it, were the slats, that you pop the bread in, were they vertical or were they horizontal? And it told me they were vertical. And I just think it's a really tremendous addition to Jaws. Over the years, to be honest, I've often wondered what we're paying our SMEs for. I'm not alone in saying that, but I have wondered at times, really, what, the features that they've added haven't been what you call mind blowing. And but when in 23, I think Jaws 23, they started with PictureSmart, but over the last two major updates, 24 and 25, I think it's just been a tremendous addition. So yeah, I sort of I'm really happy with paying the subscription for that now.
I'd also vouch for, just in general, the Sight and Sound webinars, because I was very impressed and sort of pleasantly surprised at how it was run yesterday, or the other day rather. So yeah.
Oh, there you go. Jaws key plus space P, and then question mark if you want to familiarize yourself with that and get to grips with it. if you're a Jaws user. There are add-ons for NVDA as well that can do a similar kind of thing. So just have a look in the, I don't know any off the top of my head, but just have a look in the add-on store for that. Jackie, what about you?
I think it would be useful to point out that I've needed to change the battery in one of my AirTags recently. I bought a pack of four AirTags some time ago, and I put one in each of my sort of computer bags so that if I go out somewhere, I can, or in my backpack, so that when I'm traveling, I know where my luggage is, or if I'm at an event and somebody says, "Can I put your bag under the table?" And you think, "Well, as long as I know where it is to go and find it." And I do find the AirTags really useful for that. But I needed to change the battery in one of them. So I went on to Google and I Googled how to change the AirTag battery. And actually, it's a bit fiddly. You take the You unscrew, you press on the top of the AirTag and you unscrew the lid, and then the battery comes out. That's straightforward. And then I bought a pack of four replaceable batteries, and they weren't very expensive. And I put a new battery in, but getting the lid lined up with the bottom part of the AirTag is quite difficult because once you put the battery in, the you have less room to feel the little grooves in the bottom of the AirTag where the lid's got to attach to. So I found we did it in the end. I gave it to my husband and I said, could you see if you could fiddle about with this? I've tried, and it makes a sort of a noise once you've connected the top to the bottom. It gives you that little chinky sound. That your battery has connected. That part of it was easy. It was just trying to make sure the lid of the AirTag was lined up with the bottom bit. And anyway, we did it in the end. I didn't need to get sighted assistance. We managed to do it, and that's fine. So just to say to anybody that don't throw your AirTag away if you're being told that your battery is low. You can replace them. You can get them from the well-known online store. I bought a pack of four, and they are relatively straightforward to replace, apart from just fiddling about a little bit with the lining up the lid with the little grooves.
I'm glad you've said this because I'm off to America in a few months' time and my AirTags are low on battery and I need them for my backpack and my suitcase. So I was always curious how easy it is. So it's interesting to hear that.
Yeah, as I say, it is the actual swapping of the battery is dead easy. You just have to put pressure on the top of the AirTag, which is the lid, and you put pressure on it and turn it round, I think anti-clockwise, and then the lid will come off. You tip the battery out, replace it, but it's getting the lid lined up, as I say, with those grooves. Once you've done it, it's great.
That's really worth knowing. Thanks, Jackie.
Yeah, that is good to know. I had the opposite problem. I couldn't unscrew it.
Butterfingers.
Honestly, I felt like I was breaking my fingers by the time I eventually.
Yeah, I had that difficulty because I have arthritis in both my thumbs, and by the time I'd unscrewed it, I didn't really seem to have a lot left for screwing it back up again. So I got Martin to take over. But yeah, it is worth knowing because I think some people think, oh, those AirTags are quite expensive, and when the battery runs out, you throw it away. No, don't do that. You can get
No, no, no.
a little battery for it, and all you need to do is Google. I can't remember the model that you need to go for, but you just Google AirTag battery replacements, and you can get them in our well-known store.
Well, I came across a new keyboard shortcut this week, which I say new to me. I don't know how long this has been around. So if you've been a long time Jaws user, you're probably thinking, yeah, come on, get with it. But it was one of those things where you discover something by accident. So I was trying to do a keyboard shortcut. I obviously got the wrong button somewhere, and Jaws said meeting status unavailable. So I kind of thought, okay, what's that? What does that mean? Did some digging, and it turns out if you're in a Teams meeting, then Alt, Windows, and S will tell you the status. So it will tell you whether you're muted or unmuted. It will tell you whether your video is on or off. And it will tell you if you're currently screen sharing. So, and that's a global hotkey as well. So that you don't have to be focused on Teams for it to for that to work. So useful, because I'm always kind of double checking that I'm muted. So I always kind of, the way I do it is go onto Teams and look for the button. And I know that if it says unmute, then I'm muted. If it says mute, then obviously I'm not muted. But you can just do that keyboard shortcut and it'll just give you those three things.
I like that, because I like checking, like, similar, obviously, if it's muted or unmuted, but I also like checking my camera's on or off.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah.
Exactly.
I had that too. Genuinely just a couple of days ago where a colleague called me on Teams and both my phone and laptop started ringing. And my phone shouted out Teams audio call, but I answered it on my laptop and it turned out my camera was on.
Yeah.
You know, so I immediately turned that off. At least it was just a colleague and they said, oh, I can see you. And it was really nice because they meant it in a nice way, but I was like, oh, you're not allowed to see me, so goodbye.
Some people actually don't like it when you turn your camera off in meetings. Some people, they sort of, oh, it'd be nice to see your face or see who you are.
I've had to work on it a wee bit because I do think actually, whilst there's not the same pressure, I think I'm fortunate in my office that there's not that pressure to turn your camera on, and plenty of people don't, whether they've got a sort of disability reason or other reason. But I do think actually you put yourself at a slight disadvantage if you don't, because people do make more of a personal connection with you if they can see you. So it's something I've been trying to get a bit braver about doing. Where I've drawn the line is, at least in my head, is when I'm in the office, I don't mind turning it on. When I'm not in the office, when I'm at home, working from home, I don't like it on.
Exactly the same.
Because it's my own personal space. It's my comfortable space. I'm not letting you in.
And also, I turn my camera off when I'm in a meeting, and I've had wall-to-wall meetings where, you know, I've not had a chance to have a break. So when that happens, or it's over lunchtime and I can't get away and I've got another meeting straight after, then my husband will bring up a tray of lunch for me, and I will then turn off my camera and my microphone. And I will just listen to the, you know, unless I'm taking part in it, of course, but then I will just listen to what's going on and just eat my lunch very quietly and know that I'm not being observed doing that, because I just feel a bit conscious of doing that. It just feels a bit rude, as if I'm not paying attention. But sometimes you just have meetings and you need, you just need to have a cuppa or a bite to eat, and sometimes that just happens, and that is the advantage of turning off your camera and muting yourself, unless you are fully participating and you're demonstrating something, then it's a bit different.
I think that's more than reasonable. I've definitely joined meetings where somebody said, I'm going to keep my camera off for a minute because I'm scoffing down a sandwich or I've not had lunch, and I think that's more than reasonable. Most people accept that.
Never mind working from home. Can I work from yours, Jackie? Tray food brought up to you during meetings. My days.
Yeah, my husband is really... Yeah. He is really, really thoughtful in that way.
Yeah, will Martin bring us food?
I was going to say, do you think you could train Caesar to like bring you up a packet of like human biscuits as opposed to dog biscuits?
Must work on Caesar's training.
Wow, what an insight. All right, well, anyway, that keyboard shortcut, if you're interested, Alt Windows S, as I said, you can do it from anywhere, and it will tell you whether you're muted, whether your camera's on, and tell you the screen sharing as well. That one could be useful as well, couldn't it? If you forget that you're sharing screen. All right. Another interesting week, as always. Stick with us. This is Tech Talk.
Well, with me today to talk about the Tech Freedom app on Android is Aryan Kumar.
Yeah, hello, good afternoon, and good evening. And thank you so much. First of all, I'm really grateful to you and your entire team for providing me such a beautiful opportunity here. And I'm really glad to join this program. And hopefully, people, listener of this program, will get to know something new about our application and will get to know something about, something new
Can you start by telling us a little bit about your idea for Tech Freedom and how it came about?
Basically, myself, Arin Kumar Indirba, I'm from India, Gujarat, India. And I'm 23 years old. So actually, we have started working on the project when there was a summer vacation for me when I was done with my junior college, standard 12, when I completed my standard 12. There was a break for me and, as well as for my two friends who were the founder of this project as well, co-founder of this project as well. So we three of them like discussing in a afternoon just on the call, like there should be something for the users of India, and there should be something there should be an accessible application for the visually impaired, and it should be at the affordable cost. At least we were trying to keep it free as much as we could. So basically we were planning for an application which should be developed for the visually impaired, but unlike all the other applications, you see, like developers are not reachable, or people are not approachable. So we want to work for our community and by staying in between them. Okay, so we just want to stay around with the community, getting their real-time feedbacks, identify their problems, and try to solve that problem with the help of technology. So that was our initial idea, but to be very honest, if I say honestly, frankly speaking, I was not expecting that much of rise at that time. Like we were just thinking like there should be a downloads of around 5,000, 6,000 downloads, and today we are sitting with the 57,000 downloads under our belt. So that's really something which is really cool for us, and our community has given us a lot than we were expecting. So that, I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah, it's a really, really good app. It's available on the Play Store on Android, and I have it on my phone. My husband, who's also blind, has it on his phone. And I must say that there are a lot of very good features within the app that keeps it all under the one roof kind of thing. And one of the features that I quite like about it is the music player, because it does exactly what it says on the tin. It lets you play your music. You can skip forward and back through tracks. You can use shuffle. And you can read your, obviously, track titles. And it's just a very simple interface, but it's a very clean and comfortable interface to use. So I do like Tech Freedom. There are lots of other features that you can perhaps tell us about yourself, Arian.
Yeah, and first of all, thank you so much. Glad like you like our application and my player, which you were talking about, the feature of the Tech Freedom. Yeah, so Tech Freedom is a multi-feature Android application. Our motive is to provide a all-in-one solution to the visually impaired. But unlike all other all-in-one tool, we want that each and every feature should be the reason for you to use the Tech Freedom, and we want to assure, and we want to promise the high quality, enterprise grade quality of the of each and every feature. Like document reader, you, for instance, you say our application has nearly 27 features, so mm-hmm. It is hardly to tell it one by one, every feature is here. But since the launch of AI, our application has lots of AI features. Like you have assistant, you have cache reader, you have scene description to describe your images, and you have video description as well to describe your videos, and you also have image generator and document AI, which is the sub feature of document reader. I'll be talking about it later. But yeah, you have the document AI, so lots of AI features are there. And as well as a part of AI features, there are few simple features are there. Those are meant to be very simple, and but simple, small, but yet very powerful and concise. So
yes,
this type of features we have, and especially voiceify TTS. Like especially I'm coming from the region, very well, India is a land of many languages, right? And our national languages differs, our mother tongue is differs, and when you travel through the different part of India, there are many languages across the India, right? So if I'll be using multiple languages in my phone, then Voicify TTS is helpful for me because it changes the languages on the fly. So this type of features we have, but our most used feature is like kind of AI features and image reader, which is the OCI engine, and as well as the document reader, because it's it has the vast range of document support and many other things in the document reader itself. Like you can OCR your PDFs, you can ICR, which we have just introduced, called Intelligent Character Recognition. It'll work great for the the charts, tables, and scientific formulas, mathematical equation. You all can read it very easily through this ICR feature, which we have. And in the document area itself, we have the document AI. Through using that document AI, you can ask your questions related to your document, and our AI engine will answer you, will let you the answer right away. So that is the main benefit of our document AI as well. So there are so many things. Those are available in the Tech Freedom application, and people are loving it. So it's really nice for us.
Why did you decide to go to a subscription model, Ariane? Is that something that you felt you had to do, given the cost of developing such an app and keeping it updated, and with all the AI demands that we have today? Was that a consideration that you felt you needed to go to a subscription model?
See, it's a really nice question. Firstly, you'll have to understand there is no such development cost for us as of for now, thankfully, as I am the Android application developer by myself, and I alone work on the Android part of our application. Like Windows is being managed by other developers, but I only alone work on the Android application development stuff, and there is no such development costing as I'm only developing the application currently right now. Okay. But see, when you are using the AI features, like especially like our assistant is powered by GPT-4o, our scene description is powered by GPT-4o, and you can just Google it out how much it costs. So basically, we are providing this feature since last 1 year, and without charging a single penny. Okay,
yes.
It was working fine for us, but sometimes you feel like when there is a huge user base like we do have nearly 50,000 users, so you'll have to pay lots of bills. Like for the OCR engines, you'll have to pay a bill for the GPT OpenAI. There is a bill for OpenAI as well. So initially in the January, we ask for the donations from our community, but we don't get that much of response, and as we are a team of students, you'll be surprised, VI developers is a comprise of 99% team members are the students in the VI developers. Like we are just working for our community, and we are just working for our research projects. Okay, so actually we has to manage the amount and the money involved in the project, and we had two options. First, we can decrease the accuracy, decline the quality, and use the open source things. Those are available. And second one, we should have to continue our quality, for which we are known for. Okay, so we have chosen the second path and decided like we will not compromise with the quality. And we have announced the paid version. But if you see our prices, if you see our a monthly subscription or annual subscription prices, you'll feel like there is no such big amount involved in it. And
there isn't at all. I know that I've subscribed myself. Both my husband and myself have subscribed for a year, and it was, really reasonably, compared to some apps, it was a very good price. So we completely understand, that you incur costs, and therefore you've got to cover them. You're a small team, and, your students as well. So, it's perfectly understandable. And it is, for what you're getting in the app, it is worth the money.
Yeah, and one more thing, currently doing is, we are just charging our users and provide them a great feature. Like on the 27th, we made our application paid, and within the 15 days of that that video, in that landmark announcement, we have rolled out the 6 major features within the 15 days. So like, if we have a money on our hand, if you have a finance on our hand, then we can suddenly go for the new features. Like you do, like you can check the latest update. We have navigations feature that is really important and useful feature for the someone who is traveling alone, because now you don't need to ask anyone else like where I am. You just have to open the Tech Freedom, just go to the navigation and just hit the travel mode. You'll get your job done. So that is something, yeah. Like there are some problem solving things, and community has to understand like nothing is free for anyone in this world currently, at least.
Exactly.
So we also has to, and why I'm saying this, because I've got some messages and I've got some reviews on the Google Play itself. Like people are blaming us, like we are, you know, charging for something which is necessity and we should not charge it. Like it's not a moral thing or something. So something like that. But what I feel is, see, if you are feeling the same thing, then you should ask for those who are making wheelchairs. Like you should not charge for the, you know, someone's necessity, because it is also the necessity, no?
Yeah, I totally understand. Yeah. What plans do you have for the future for the app? Are there any more things you think you could add to it, or is it a question now of you have a full suite of kind of features within the app that you can use, and there are a lot of them: color detector, cache reader, you know, document reader, there's AI, travel, news, there's lots of features in the app within itself. So do you continue to enhance those features, improve on them wherever necessary, or are you planning anything else exciting in the future?
Well, in the future, we will definitely listen to our users' feedback, and improvement is something which is really the ongoing process. So there will be the improvements as well in each and every feature. Like for an instance, like if you say there's cache reader can only identify the Indian currency as of for now.
Yes.
Because we are only able to train the currency detection model for the India only, but we are trying to expand it. Like we want to expand it for currently, we are trying for euros and dollars, US dollars, and United Kingdom pounds. So currently, we are trying for these 3 currencies, and let's see where we can, when we can implement it out. But yeah, so we are currently we are focusing on the currency development as well, like major currencies we'd like to introduce. And as well as for a part of that, we are also planning for some great additions in the navigation as well. Like currently navigation's travel mode just let you know the, you know, locations, your current location and 2 landmarks. Okay. But we want, like if you are traveling, then you don't need a separate application. So we are planning for the directions feature as well. Like you can just put your desired place, address, location there, and Tech Freedom will get you by there. So we are also planning for the directions features and other stuff there. So this kind of things we are planning currently. And about the new features, so those are new in the AI stuff. We'll definitely gonna add this. So like if there is a feature related to AI, and if there will be any enhancements available in the AI stuff, then we'll definitely add it in our applications as well.
A lot of people are going to be asking this question and have already asked it. Will it ever be released on iOS? So is it ever going to be feasible to have it on Apple, or is that difficult because Apple works in a different way with its, it can be quite locked down, shall we say? So, are you able to consider having it on iOS, or are there sort of logistics why you can't?
I'm not denying for the Apple, and it depends like on the smartness of the listeners of this program. So I'm not denying that Tech Freedom will not come on the iOS. So just wait and watch. There may be something good. Something good is hopefully something good is cooking under the hood. So
that's exciting.
Yeah, so basically we are also receiving lots of feedback about iOS, and we are taking it seriously. So, and the, as we are in the public, like I'm not declining it, like Tech Freedom will not ever come in the iOS, but it might be some delayed, there might be some, you know, delayed, and there might be some, you know, as you have already mentioned, the cost associated with the iOS development.
Yeah.
Because you usually don't find iOS developers walking on the street, right? So yeah. that's why it's quite difficult to find an iOS developer, and we need also iOS ecosystem, MacBook and iOS handset as well. So we are trying for that, but yeah, hopefully we'll get some good results within few months, most probably 5 or 6 months.
And do you aim to make some of the features, like you've mentioned at the moment, the cache reader, it just has rupees because obviously it's been developed in India. So do you anticipate having some of those features more widely available other than in India, so that, you know, people can choose, you know, newspapers, for example, in different locations other than India? Is that your plan to expand that if and wherever it's possible?
Yeah, we are open to, like, we will be happy to add your newspaper as well. Like in the India, we have a copyright infringement law that exempt the use of the digital media for the visually impaired without any copyright approval. So we don't know about other countries, and we don't know about other copyright laws. So that's why we are not able to currently. But if anybody else would like to contribute for their country, like for instance, somebody is from UK would like to contribute in our newspaper section, they are happily contribute, and we will provide them with the, you know, related technical knowledge and other things. So we will be providing, but you know, you all have to understand is, like, we need some volunteer support as well to add some yes. other languages newspapers, for example. So we will be happy to add some other languages newspaper, but yeah, we just need a contribution from you. We just need some, you know, collaboration from you so that we can, you know, introduce such things. And mainly we are targeting the cache reader as if for now, because we need I really want, personally I want, as a being a developer of Tech Freedom, I want that cache reader should be available to majorly, it should be available to the countries where our major users tech is there. Like for example, you have you know, Arabic regions, especially countries like Egypt and Turkey. We have lots of users there as well, and in the Europe, obviously, we have lots of users. So in the Europe and USA. So we want the currencies of these countries are to be added in the Tech Freedom as quickly as possible.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Ariyan Kumar, for joining us from Tech Freedom. And what a pleasure it has been to talk to you today, and to thank you and your small team for doing such a great job with an app that I certainly find it very useful on Android. And I'm sort of promoting it if people want to have an all-in-one app with a lot of features in it. I'm sure there is a lot more to look forward to. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much for inviting me here. Again, it's a great thing to talk to you, and yeah.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you very much for coming on today. And I really look forward to more developments in the future of Tech Freedom. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you have a technology question, why not ask the Tech Talk team? Email now, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, or tweet at RNIB Radio using the hashtag AskTechTalk.
Time now on RNIB Connect Radio to talk gaming, and more importantly, Braille gaming. Yes, we are talking about the game Brailing, and joining me now, Eligius and Demir. Welcome both to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello.
Hello, it's amazing to be here. I'm very excited, yeah, to share our message, mission, what we have accomplished already, like, with you guys.
So can we start by you telling us, how did this come about, the idea of this game and this project?
Yeah, so it began very interestingly. I think like in a very basic way, we were just two classmates in the school, in the third gymnasium class, so 11th grade, 2 years ago. And we just got a simple assignment, a group project, to come up with some kind of board game idea. And at first, At first, this task was very unusual and not exciting for us because we weren't the fans of board games. We didn't know a lot about the games, but I remember Eligius telling me, let's create something we have never heard before. So we thought for a second, what it is, a board game that we have never seen and we have never heard before about. And we realized that we have never heard about the game for people with some kind of disabilities. So we really thought it would be very interesting to come up with an idea in this field. And then we eventually came up with Braille, board game for the blind, word game. We never could have guessed that we will actually create it at first, because I think we weren't courageous enough to think that when you are still in school, you don't have any money to start your business, you don't have any knowledge, any education or some kind of understanding of the field, that you can actually create this game and start this company. So we weren't really dreaming about it, but just things went by one after another, some kind of situations, and we realized that we can actually create it for real.
So let's now talk about the game itself. Can you tell us what the game is and how it works?
Okay, so the game is very simple. I think everybody knows the crossword games, when you basically, you have the letters, you receive like random letters in the beginning of your every turn, and you just need to come up with a word. So it's basically a word game, which you play, everybody who's playing in a group, you play on one word, and you're just coming up with the new words. So you're creating one word, then the next player creates another word. And we have so letters, as it is on the in word games, and our letter has Braille and uplifted letter. So blind people usually know Braille, so that's why we have Braille. But also some of them don't know Braille; they just didn't have the opportunity to learn it in school. That's why we uplifted the letter, so blind people could identify the letter just by touching it with their finger. And also we have blind and white special, black and white special contrast for the visually impaired people. And of course, sighted people can play it too, because we can see the letter on the tile as well.
So we have like dominoes cards, one letter, 1 point. And we have a board. If you put it like, I know, some hello, and you're getting 5 or 4 like domino cards, and in this card we have also uplifted like dot, and you stack for yourself, and later on when the game is finished you need to count how much dots you have, and that's how we know the winner.
And one more very interesting I think detail about this game is that we have eye covers. So in the final version of the product we included eye covers to make it more exciting for the sighted players of the Brailing, to kind of have the opportunity to experience maybe what it is like to operate in the world without sight and just to rely on your fingerprints. And as of now, the feedback is amazing. People have never tried such things. It's very unusual at first. People don't know what to expect, but when they try, they really get excited and surprised about how even we sighted people can identify the letters just by touching it with our fingers.
And everything was created with the blind community. We are from Lithuania, so every detail, like when we were starting the prototypes, every weekend we're coming with the blind community and talking with them about how we can improve the game. So today we have like 100% community-based product who tells everything and knows everything.
I really like my two highlights here. I mean, the game itself is quite interesting, but also I do quite like your unique way of scoring, that you also use Braille for scoring and reading your score. But I do like the equal aspect that you actually have eye shades as well to be able to have an equal playing field. So that's really quite interesting. Before we talk about availability and buying the game, what are your future plans? What are you hoping to do off the back of this game?
For us, it's all about the journey. To be honest, this journey really transformed our lives from just two high school students who just thinking about the future to 2 years later, actually young people who have business, have company, have product, and just getting to do this as our everyday life is really, really just very amazing. And our future plans, as for now, regards this game, especially we want to expand it into different geographical markets as well as different sale funnels. So as for now, it is available like to buy it on our e-store, but we really want to go in retail. We want to go in conferences, events, and we want to go into different markets, UK, US, United States, and just kind of with this game, we want to reach as much as possible. We want to like to reach as much of the blind community and also other communities. And then we will think about other ways to help the blind community, because overall, our mission wasn't just to create a board game. It wasn't just to create a board game the blind and sighted people can play together, but it was really to bridge the gap. We are really we are very happy with the Ligus to meet blind people and to realize how amazing they are and how much we can learn from them. And so we want the same for other people. So we're really about bridging this gap and bringing people together. Doesn't matter if you can see or no.
And if someone waiting the answer, are you creating the new games? Not yet. First, I think we want that every family with one or two blind persons have the brailing on the table. Then I think we will start thinking about something to new create.
How many languages does the game currently support?
We have different versions. So we have Lithuanian version, original for our country. And we also have already created a fully English version from packaging to letters, because Braille is almost the same, unless we have special letters in our Lithuanian alphabet. But we also looked at the proportion of the letters, because in English language, we use some letters more often than Lithuanian. So right now we like developed fully different English version, especially for English talking nations, countries, and so two versions as for now.
Does the game feature accessible instructions with it?
For sure. We have QR code inside the box and Braille under it that tells to scan this code. And when you scan the code, you're being redirected to YouTube video. And it's basically audio rules that explains everything you need to know to set up this game, to begin playing, to understand how to play and how to finish the game, like step by step. Everything you need to know from the second you open the box.
And if people would like to buy this game in the UK, where can they go at the moment?
It's Braillin Game, braillingame.com. We have our e-store also fully translated into English language, so it's very comfortable and easy to purchase this game. And we have pre-sales at the moment because our manufacturing is still happening. So you can really order now, first part of June, by a really, really low price. And the games will be delivered to you by the end of July. That's like our plan.
That sounds really intriguing. Thank you very much, Eligius and Demir, for coming on to tell us about Brailing here on RNIB Connect Radio.
We've had an email come in from Andrew, who's been in touch with us. He says, I'll be moving home soon and a new central heating system is going to be installed. Does anyone have any recommendations for someone with no usable vision? I've got a couple of ideas here, but any of you guys got any thoughts?
I do, Callum. So my first thought was Hive, because that's what I use. Because I'd say, yeah, I come under the category of sort of no usable vision. I got Hive quite a few years ago now, actually. And the problem was, in some ways, in reverse, in that I had a boiler that I was struggling to work, and I was in a student house, and we were all as inept as each other, basically. And a deal came up with British Gas, who I think own Hive, and it was like, get a Hive Echo device installed and a free Amazon Alexa Echo Dot or whatever it was at the time. And I thought that sounds like a pretty good deal. And I looked into it and it said you get a device installed, it has tactile buttons and a tactile knob that you turn for the temperature, and it comes with a Hive heating app. And I thought, okay, well, that sounds good. So hopefully the app's accessible, and hopefully if it's not accessible, at least the smaller control panel with a few buttons and a knob should be easier for me to work than the boiler. And it did. It worked an absolute treat. So really enjoyed that. I was very happy with that for quite a while. And then they did an update and they broke the app, as far as I was concerned. It was utterly useless and extremely frustrating. But here's where the second thing came in, and that was I could connect it to Alexa. So whilst I was figuring this out, I'd already been using the tactile buttons and knob that did work fine. But I'd already set up commands on Alexa that had, you know, boost the heating, I'm cold, warm it up, set a temperature of 20 degrees, whatever. And that was really, really useful. And that's actually a tip I've taken forward myself. So when I am buying a smart device in future, not only will I get one that obviously comes with a companion app, that'll check that there's one that can be connected to a smart speaker, so that if they do break the app, I've still got another way of controlling it. But just a couple of things to mention is I did go for the full Hive because I think you can do Smart Hive and that's a slightly cheaper version, but you don't get the control panel. So that means you are a bit more vulnerable to Wi-Fi and also to, like I say, the app updates because you don't have the physical panel. But on a positive note, I've enjoyed it so much that I actually now have Hive radiator valves all around the house. And timely enough, this week I got an email from British Gas saying your heating bills are going down. So clearly having all these smart radiator valves around the house are working a treat, because the first time in a long time, possibly ever, my heating bill is now less than three figures, which I am enjoying.
Have you got the chance to try the latest version of the Hive app? Because what I've been seeing is that some of the latest updates to Hive have been apparently quite tricky with accessibility. So when you mentioned the accessibility issues, are they with the latest version of the app or one of the latest versions? Because they've had a big update recently, apparently, from what I've seen.
I've not noticed anything particularly myself, but equally it has been, in inverted commas, summer, so I've not really been looking at it. And I do a lot just my voice, you know, asking Alexa what's the temperature in this room or that room. And I don't think I've turned on the heating for a couple of months. But I did have a quick look the other day and it seemed fine to me. There's nothing stood out. No, the big update I'm referring to was about 2020, 2021. I don't know what they did, but I think there was mega wipeout in the VI community with whatever update that was. So, yeah, I've not noticed any problems, not yet anyway.
So I've got Google Nest, which I find really good. Similar to you, I either use it through the app or through the smart speaker, because I've got the Google Assistant running on my Sonos speakers, so I use it through that. The only downside of Nest, because we're going to be moving soon, and I'm kind of looking at this again and a bit kind of considering Hive a bit more, because the downside to Nest is that the little thermostat itself, the actual device, isn't very accessible. Mm-hmm. You can turn mm-hmm. the little dial to adjust the temperature, but it's kind of touchscreeny, like there's a little button on the thermostat dial thing, so it's, you can twist it, but you can also press it in, and then that gets you to the options and the settings and things like that. And it's quite easy to knock that. So you might think that you're controlling the temperature, but actually you're navigating through a menu somewhere and you might not realize. So yeah, that's not very accessible. So the advantage of Hive, it sounds like it's a little bit more of an accessible kind of controller, I think.
Yeah. The other pointer I would make is, there's always a deal happening. So maybe don't try and avoid paying full price if you can. Like I say, I got a free Echo Dot the first time I did it. With the different radiator valves, there's usually some sort of summer sale on, or the way I did it was I bought one to see if it was worthwhile and then slowly bought more as I thought, actually, this is brilliant. and you can buy them in like bundles of three, I think it is, three or four. And yeah, it's like I say, I think it's really worth it for me personally. And the batteries in your Hive valves last a couple of years, I think. And that's pretty straightforward to change. Once you've done it once, you know what you're up to, and it's quite straightforward. And I think it's just AA batteries. I don't think it's anything special, which I always like. I like simple. Simple's good.
Well, there you go. Hive or Nest would be the recommendations from us. I think you would do fine with either of those, but definitely connect them to your smart speaker if you can, I would say. And something else worth noting here, just quickly, you don't have to have a smart speaker to use, certainly not to use Alexa, and I don't think you need one for the Google Assistant as well. If you download the Amazon Alexa app onto your smartphone, you can use it that way as well, so you can connect the skills the same way and then use the voice commands in the app. It's not quite as seamless as using your smart speaker, but if you've not got a smart speaker or you don't want one for whatever reason, or if you want to adjust it while you're out and about, but, you know, the app breaks, but the Alexa integration still works, get the app on your phone as well, and you can still use it that way. So hope that helps, Andrew, and let us know how you get on. That's all we've got time for this week. Thank you so much for being with us, for tuning in. As we've said, if you want to get in touch, techtalk@rnib.org.uk is the email address you need. Written messages and voice notes, always welcome. We'll be back with you again next week. From me, Callum Stoneman, Hubert Pavalkovich, Jackie Brown, and Natalie Curran. Bye for now.
See you next week.
Bye for now.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.